Hello, I'm Dr. Scott Wattier.
And I'm Tommy Welling, and you're listening to the Fasting for Life podcast.
This podcast is about using fasting as a tool to regain your health, achieve ultimate wellness, and live the life you truly deserve.
Each episode is a short conversation on a single topic with immediate actionable steps. We cover everything from fat loss and health and wellness to the science of lifestyle design.
We started Fasting for Life because of how fasting has transformed our lives, and we hope to share the tools that we have learned along the way. Hey everyone, welcome to the Fasting for Life podcast. My name is Dr. Scott Wattier. I am here, as always, with my good friend and colleague, Tommy Welling. Good, happy new year to you, sir. How are you?
Hey, doing well, Scott. How are you? Happy new year.
It's awesome, man. Happy new year as well. Incredible that 12 months has gone by since you and I first, decided to make the leap into the podcasting world and turn on the microphones and fail forward quickly. And it's been an incredible year. So I'm just really excited about today's episode because we're going to do some cool stuff, and also kind of set the launch pad for, 2021.
Yeah, I'm really excited too. Like you said, it's just been a crazy year, in so many cool ways. Just a lot of things that we could have never predicted whenever we started about a year ago. And, it's just been great. Yeah. We're just going to keep failing forward a lot and making some impact along the way and having some cool conversations.
Yeah, I think the biggest understatement of the year could have been, it was a crazy year, right? So 2020, see you later, peace out, you're in the rearview mirror. We're moving onward and upward. Obviously, lots of things that people have gone through this year that you never would have experienced, and some people still going through. And just grateful and blessed that we've been able to navigate, this year together with all of you guys as listeners, Tommy with you. And the friendship with you and your family. So just grateful for the opportunity over this last year. And just to start off on the highest note possible in terms of us being, I think, I don't know what episode this is, 53, 54, right?
Yeah.
Would make sense. 52 weeks in a year, somewhere in that range. I can't keep track, but 206,000 downloads.
Wow. That's a cool number.
If it was 204, it'd be a cool number, right? Yeah. Like 175,000 would be a cool number.
If we were saying 100,000 right now, I would have been shocked from a year ago and would be celebrating
it. Yeah. Right? Like, would you have known? I had no idea.
No, I had no idea. I had no framework for predicting that number or, how many people would find us and how many emails we'd get from around the world. So those are really cool. It's always cool to pull up the downloads and see which countries, are downloading and, cause it kind of starts in one spot and then you can kind of see it, spread outward from there, from the big cities and go into the more rural locations and things like that. There's just some stuff that we would have never, predicted. It's really cool. And we appreciate everyone listening.
Yeah. And it's don't worry. We're not going to talk just about us the entire time. Promise we're going to get some real cool topics today. We're going to do a year in review. We're going to highlight some of the episodes that we felt had the greatest impact based on the feedback that we got and the conversation it created. And honestly, looking at the download numbers that we've been alluding to, which is just really, really stinking cool. I think back and compare it to, oh, I almost forgot. We're going to talk about what the heck we're going to do in 2021, right? You and I have taken, 10 plus hours over the last just 2 weeks, just strategizing what we're going to do in 2021. So we're going to talk about what's coming and what we hope to be able to provide in terms of value to you guys, the listeners. So to echo your sentiment, Tommy, I'm just grateful. Thank you guys for being on this journey with us. And we're just getting started. So in the essence of numbers, reflecting back on 200,000, I was in, clinical practice for 9 years, right? Almost a decade. And I used to see 400 to 500 patients a week, sometimes a little bit more depending on the week. And that would be 500 little conversations about health and wellness and longevity and weight loss and, you know, better posture and metabolic testing and, you know, cardiovascular disease and all these conversations about health that people were concerned about, right?
Yeah.
Well, 200,000 divided by 365 is almost 550 a day. So that is like in one day with, you know, just us turning the microphones on, talking about research and having conversations about fasting, which is like simply not eating, right, for a certain amount of time. Right. It's been more than an entire week, right? So it's just cool perspective.
Yeah, that is cool. It's great how many individual conversations, you know, we can have on a grander scale, you know, through this medium, and then the feedback that comes back is really cool too, because you know, you guys are sharing a lot with us as far as, you know, your wins and your struggles and your questions, and then on board, you know, in the challenges that you know, we've been doing over the last few months. And, you know, started off at the beginning of last year with our first challenge, but, you know, some of the people who've entered into the challenge coming back with stories from earlier in the year that they've been listening for a long time. And that's been cool. So we have a lot of threads that kind of go all the way back, you know, to the beginning of last year. So that's been cool to see.
Yeah. And when you and I were in the end of 2019, just kind of tossing this idea around, and then we'll kind of get into some of the highlights. You know, it was like, well, why do you want to do this? Well, I don't want people to have to do what I just did. Like you know, you have a medical pre-med background, master's in physiology. I went to, you know, grad school in a health service, you know, healthcare profession, biology undergrad, like, none of that matters now. You and I looked at each other and we're like, can we not have people like suffer and like be frustrated the way we did? And for some reason, it just resonated with us. I think it might be our fixer personalities, or I'm sure if it's the Kolbe index or the DISC profile or love languages, I'm sure there's something in there.
Some explanation, huh?
Yeah. Both feeds into you and I, your psychology interests, and my wife who has a degree in psychology and all this stuff, like whatever it is, all of it came together in this aggregate to be like, well, we have this desire to help and to fix and to reach more people. And, you know, the diabetes blood sugar epidemic is manifesting itself in so many different ways and other healthcare issues, from, you know, weight gain to PCOS to, you know, to everything in between, heart disease and proliferations of certain cancers and all this different stuff that's out there. So, it's just crazy to think, you know, back in 19, it's like, all right, well, let's just go do it and see where it takes us. And I could not be more excited. Isn't even like the tip of the iceberg. It's much more than that in terms of what this can become and what this fasting movement can become, because it's been around forever, but people just have been scared to do it or don't know how to do it. And hopefully we can provide that for you in 2021.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly where the power lies. And you know, based on the individual feedback, we see how many people are gaining that empowerment in their own lives, like we experienced, you know, not all that long ago. But you know, we remember that feeling. That's why we wanted to come and, you know, bring that on a wider scale to more people. You know, besides just you in my kitchen. Like, not everyone's in my kitchen, you know, and right. Not everyone's, you know, in the clinic or wherever, you know, and so, you know, if you're on the drive home or wherever you are and hearing the conversation, like, we, you know, we're right there with you. We remember the feeling too. So it's cool.
So a good segue into some of the highlights from the episodes that had the most impact, most downloads, most conversation, most questions, most feedback. It's a good transition in that, you know, if you want to hear more about our personal stories and our personal journey of how we got here and how we started it, go back with a light hand and listen to episode 0 and episode 1. We had just started, right? So we always ask for grace in that. But go back and listen, get some perspective on what we're trying to do and where we're going. And again, we're just glad you're here. But some of the episodes that, Tommy, a couple of the ones that I know, you know, after we posted, you were like, wow, like, look at the response to these. And it had to do with one of the most common fasting acronyms out there, the ADF fasting method. And then there's a couple episodes, episode 39, episode 25, where we both specifically talked about ADF in the episode, but also comparing it to one meal a day, intermittent fasting, and then the 5-2 method, specifically in episode 39, which is the how to lose 30 pounds fasting the fastest. And that episode got so much positive feedback.
Yeah, that was cool. And I think it's because that conversation, I hadn't heard that conversation anywhere else where people would kind of break down the calorie math and putting the different fasting methods, putting the numbers to them, so that you could have an actual tangible, reference point to how to track your results and which one would be the best way. Because I think for a lot of people, especially getting started with fasting, it can feel like you're just throwing stuff against the wall, seeing what sticks. And I think when we really got granular with it and put those numbers to it, I think that started to have a big impact and resonate with a lot of people. We heard back from some engineers, some people with more of a math background, where it was like they were finally understanding where a lot of the power was, let alone everyone else too.
And that was funny. That was episode 39, right? So we talked about it in episode 25. That was week 39 of the journey. Before that clarity came back, right? But in episode 25, it was more like the trap of having a free eating day, almost the mindset behind that, the psychology behind that, comparing that to a one meal a day versus a warrior type diet, which is the 20 hours of fasting with a 4-hour eating window. And
right,
it was interesting because we had a comment on one of the platforms where it was like, you've assigned random numbers to these situations when you compared ADF versus IF versus OMAD versus 5-2. And we're like, sure. Well, no, we took the average meal size and the average, fast food size, and we did some math and we created this framework where we could have a conversation where it could be actionable. And in that, comparing green apples to red apples to gala apples to, I don't know, another fourth apple type.
Honeycrisp.
Yeah, there you go. Honeycrisp. Nice. I thought that was a cereal. Honey something. I don't know. I had a flashback there, but
yeah. Honey smacks or something like honey, that.
Yeah. I don't know. Somebody will tell us, right? Somebody will be like, it's XYZ. I'm like, oh, that's right. That's it. But
just skip it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just skip it. Yeah. Stick to the apple. So right. We did not plan that. So the OMAD actually ended up showing to be, by just simple numbers, the most effective way to get there, if you just stay simply consistent day after day and you don't have to worry about these longer fasts and all the considerations that come with that. So at week 39 was like this moment where we're like, wow, okay. So this is why people are seeing the results they are.
Yeah. That was really cool. Cause we hadn't actually gone through all the math until before that episode. So yeah, that was it. It shed some light and it made some things clear for us for why this can be so effective. And, especially starting with OMAD, I mean, it's one of those things where keep it simple, but highly effective as well.
And one point of clarification, if you're new, I prefer to do one meal a day. I feel better on it. In a fat loss mode, one meal a day might get you there for some people. Maintenance fat loss mode, these are two different, very different things. So what we're talking about specifically when we're comparing these different fasting strategies is we applied it to what most people come to fasting for, which is weight loss. So if you want to lose 30 pounds the fastest, then consistently do one meal a day and you'll get there compared to 5-2, IF, ADF, warrior, et cetera. So just a point of clarification there. If you're in the fat loss phase, you're doing a little bit more aggressive fat loss versus the maintenance phase, two totally different situations. Another really cool episode, which I think a lot of people resonate with, is the sugar addiction episode and the eating habits and the willpower, and where we reference the book Salt, Sugar, Fat that was written by the New York Times bestselling investigative journalist. That was episode 37. And the feedback on this one was just incredible.
Yeah, this one hit some emotional nerves, because we were getting some emotional feedback for sure in some emails, just some really honest and powerful emails. So we appreciate the transparency, and it was really cool to see, because that book really resonated with me. And I remember that kind of turning point and just, just finally seeing it from a different perspective, how I had developed these habits over the years and starting from early childhood. And they can be really, really tough to recognize, let alone break out of. So kind of shining a light on that for everyone was important for me. And it was cool to see that it definitely did resonate.
I couldn't believe I had heard and seen excerpts of that in the past, but when you told me about the chemically engineered foods to have the right, what's the term? Not palatability, but the right
mouthfeel.
Oh God, just saying that makes me cringe. Such like a weird mouthfeel. Like, I don't know. So just that, and then the engineering of like the stuff that's in the food and, you know, less is more, right? When it comes to, you know, sugar addictions and food overeating and binging. And we're not talking about clinically diagnosed situations, but where you just have that yo-yo of that 20 to 30 pounds, or you just keep putting the pounds on year after year, and you really can't seem to ever see yourself fitting in those, you know, size 12 jeans again, or the tux from the wedding, or whatever it is. That I went back and read the excerpts again, and I was like, wow. Like, I found an online review rather than going and digging the book out. I actually think I had that book in my office and somebody borrowed it, and I don't think I ever got it back. But just incredible combining that with, so the stage is set against you, right? You're set against, like, the convenience of the food that we have in the majority of the aisles in our grocery store. Combining that with the fact that willpower is a mythical creature and that it's finite. Willpower is not going to get you there. It was just a really cool impact from that episode.
Yeah. And, you know, it even goes to the situations where we had an email just last week from someone who realized that they had these bad patterns and they were trying to put something else in to kind of fill that void. And that sugar addiction and just the engineered nature of the foods can get right into like filling in the blanks where someone was coming home from work. And instead of waiting for that family dinner at 6 p.m., it was starting at 5 p.m. And she was finding herself just kind of mindlessly snacking all throughout that hour and probably taking in just multiple hundreds of calories, you know, before she even really wanted to eat and was able to sit down and enjoy that. Well, turned out it was just kind of habitual in nature, which is what so much of the salt, sugar, fat is, you know, it explains and kind of gets to the root of. So it has a lot of implications for everyday habits.
Hey, y'all, I wanted to take a second and tell you just an incredible story about an amazing company that we've come across recently. And now they are a sponsor of our show. It's airdoctorpro.com. You can head to the website, use a promo code FASTINGFORLIFE to receive up to $300 off. But most importantly, my little guy, my two-year-old, has not slept consistently through the night since he was born. We have tried everything you can imagine. He is our third child, and we're just like, what is happening? So we have gone to great lengths, time, money, and effort to figure out how we can help him sleep. And the reality is we're pretty much just resigned to the fact that this is how it's going to be until we put the Air Doctor Pro in his room. And I am not joking when I tell you the first night that we put it in his room, he slept through the night. The second night, slept through the night. Now we're up to 35 plus days that he has slept through the night. He has only woken up two times rather than two, three times a night, two times in the last 35 days and counting. And we are just so incredibly grateful. The reality is we had a feeling that it was something that we were missing. And the indoor air that we breathe is 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air these days. In some cases, up to 100 times more. We spend 90% of our time indoors and we take 20,000 breaths a day. So what's the solution? An air purifier, a cut above the rest. I'm not going to lie. We have tried others. We've tried other HEPA filters. We've tried other air filters. We have spent the money and they have not done the results that Air Doctor did in literally the first day that we put it in his room. They filter out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants. That includes pollutants such as allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mite, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. So I don't know what it was that was keeping them up, but it is now gone. So Air Doctor comes with a 30-day breathe easy money back guarantee. So if you don't love it, send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com. Use promo code FASTINGFORLIFE to receive up to $300 off air purifiers. an exclusive listener offer for you as well. You'll receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. That's exclusive to you, the podcast listener, now hearing this in real time. Lock this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code FASTINGFORLIFE. You guys know that we are very particular with who we partner with. And if it wasn't for this incredible company and the incredible results that we've seen, I would not be encouraging you to head to the website and take advantage of the Fasting for Life promo code. So if you support our sponsors, you are ultimately supporting us. We are grateful for you listening in. And now back to today's episode.
And so good transition in a couple other episodes that we got a lot of feedback on. One was episode 29, Hunger Isn't Real. And then what are the hunger cues? What's actually happening? What can happen to your digestion after you start fasting? And that one's really powerful for people, you know, along the lines of the sugar addiction thing and the willpower conversation, is that once you know what hunger is the majority of the time and what's going on in your body, you can regain control and regain power over that decision. And we're going to go over some of the wins from some of our challenges and coaching and podcast reviews and just hit some of the highlights of some of the great stuff that you guys have been so gracious with and your kind words and your feedback and results, most importantly. But that hunger one was like huge, huge. Like even just going through it and putting it together and prepping for that one was like, oh yeah, I'm not hungry. I've got, you know, 250,000 stored calories around my midsection. Like, or I did, right? Like I'm good. Like I can, we run out of TP this year. I'm okay. Like I don't, my kids can have my food. Like I'm okay for the next few weeks. I'm not at 165 pounds with a 4% body fat. Like I'm okay. Like it's going to be all right.
Yeah, it's not crucial. But your body's yelling at you in that moment that it is crucial. So yeah, I think that that one was huge too, because just understanding that, especially being new, but you know, even if you've been fasting for a while, just that reminder of why your body is going to continue to give you those signals and those cues. And it's this urgency that it's trying to give you, but with a little bit of patience and understanding, you can get past that. And usually it's 10 or 15 minutes, and it might be even less. Just the other day, I was on a 72-hour fast, and I started to feel nauseous when we walked into a restaurant because the family was eating, but it only lasted about 3 minutes. I timed it this time. And nice. But it was a rough 3 minutes. I mean, and it was out of nowhere because it actually started when we pulled into the parking lot in kind of one of those strip centers where there was a bunch of restaurants all around each other. Well, you know, the neurons just start firing. I start remembering the food at all these different places and immediately, you know, just my stomach started going crazy.
It's a real phenomenon, right? But once you understand that, a lot of the time it's just the external, it's the cue, it's the habit, it's the smell. It's the cephalic phase of digestion. It just gives you that power back. And a good way to transition into another. So we've gone from how to lose weight the best way possible to sugar addictions and willpower and the, you know, eating habits to what hunger truly is and how to regain control over it, what's happening to alcohol. Episode 30, we talk specifically about alcohol. This is a question we get a lot. There's different ways to be successful. Alcohol has some things that it, you know, it changes, it breaks down the barriers. Most people will typically be, myself included, speaking from experience, more apt to eat things that they typically wouldn't.
Right.
You know, cravings, those types of things. But episode 30, we got some cool feedback on too. And, you know, it's a question we get often.
Yeah. Cause it's one of those things where it's easier to eat more and to eat more of those foods that are packing in a high caloric density, more snacky type foods, some sweeter foods, even if, I think you mentioned that where, you know, you wouldn't normally eat sweets, but if you had had an alcoholic beverage or two, then that might be the time when you actually had something sweet. But you know, and it tends to be a social lubricant as well, and bringing people together and just giving you more eating opportunities. And those are those times when we're packing in those extra calories that we don't need for that particular day, so we tend to hold on to them for a lot longer. And I think that one did, you know, resonate with a lot of people, because the social aspect of fasting is one of those those big things that keeps people from jumping in, I think, especially at the beginning. And alcohol is a big part of that for a lot of people.
Yep, 100%. And never mind the physiological thing that takes place where the alcohol actually like directly can stimulate insulin resistance, you know? So it's like, you know, if you're undoing and you've had weight loss resistance, you know, alcohol can actually, and we're not saying if you are drinking to stop forever, but if you're trying to reverse diabetes or, you know, get your enzyme liver enzymes in check or lose 30 pounds, lose 10 pounds of visceral fat, you know, decrease your cholesterol, blood pressure, whatever it is, like it's good to know what the alcohol is doing. And then also how to put a game plan together on what to go to, which is better, like, you know, a white spirit versus, you know, a 250 calorie craft IPA porter. You know what I mean? So if you've got questions on alcohol, which is a common question we get, episode 30, I thought really hit home. And then also re-anchored me to, you know, sticking to something called dry farm wines. So I haven't had red wine that hasn't been dry farmed since. If you're not familiar with that, it's a cool concept. Keto friendly, low carb type wines that still give you the social aspect, still give you a little bit of what you call social lubricant, but don't kick you kick you in the face from the insulin resistance side of things.
Yeah, that's a nice balance right there.
I like the social lubricant. I'm going to use that. A couple other episodes. So we're going to go introspective here for a second. Tommy, episode 33 highlighted your 7-day fast and your journey with ketones and testing. And then episode 17, which was how you guided me and how fasting guided me to 48 and a half pounds lost in 50 days. And I'm happy to report that that was back in the summer and early fall of 2019. And since then I've kept 40, any given day, 40 to 44 pounds of that off. So episode 33, how to do a 7-day fast, your perspective on it, which I love that episode because the way you look at things, and I know we joke around if you guys have been listening for a while, you know, how you land the plane on stuff. And then episode 17 was like, wait, you did what in what? And I'm like, yeah. And I did not eat for 50 days. Like I ate pretty much other than the 5-day fast. I ate like every day or every other day.
Right. Yeah. You didn't really take too well to the, like the 72s or like a 96 or something like that. That's not your wheelhouse right there.
Nope. Tell me 68 hours. Tell me 96 hours. You say 72, I'm walking away. I'm not doing it.
Or yeah. And you were definitely game for a 7-day or even longer if the time would work out for it. But yeah, that 72 hours, just, not a lot of fun, especially if you're cycling in and out. If you did them back to back, it'd be a little easier, but, you know, having to kind of go through, do the transition into ketosis, then come out of it, go back to normal, you know, everyday patterns and then get back into it. That's pretty rough. That's a little, water torture-y for me too.
Yeah. I remember one of the episodes we talked about the fasting cure written by Upton Sinclair in 1911. And it's like no sane man or woman would fast, you know, would not eat for 3 days at a time and do that over and over and over again. I don't remember how he articulated it, but he was like,
yeah,
nobody does that. Okay. Right. So yeah, nobody does that. And that there's physiological reasons why. So I do not like that one. It's gotten easier, I will say, but yeah. So episode 30, your 7-day fast journey, episode 17, 48 and a half pounds, or we'll round up to 50 because it sounds cool. 50 pounds in 50 days. And then a more recent episode, episode 43, where we realize we're about, you know, 43 weeks into the year and we haven't really gone back to like how to start fasting. Like we get a lot of new listeners and we're like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, we should probably go over that again. Just like the most recent episodes of how to break a fast.
Yeah. Yeah. I think going back to some of those things are important for, you know, for new listeners, but also for longtime listeners too, because just kind of going back to basics, it's like anything else where you can get kind of so educated and so sophisticated in your methods that sometimes you kind of lose sight of some of the core foundational things that got you those results, you know, especially from the beginning. But you know, refocusing on those things can be a powerful way to kind of get the ball rolling again, or to break a sticking point. You know, or just keep the momentum going.
Yep. I love it. I think I want to, so those are the episodes, episode 39, 37, 25, 29, 43, 33, 17, and 30. I think I want to go over kind of the new content before we go into some of the wins and deliver some value here. When we look at the year, you know, the conversational nature of this has always been something that you and I have loved. And that's what started, you know, God bless you, man, for being able to do this on your own with just reading the books and researching, right? Your frustration point had gotten to the point where you're like, I don't care what this takes. I'm doing this. And then you talked me into doing it. God knows how. And then I actually looked at the research and I was like, oh yeah, this makes sense. What are you going to say?
I was going to say it wasn't much talking. You watched it happen over a matter of probably, I don't know, maybe like a 3 month time.
I was going to say about 3 months.
Seems like, right. And then at a certain point it was like, okay, wait a minute. What are you doing right now? Because I need that. What are you doing? Tell me what,
if you were my doctor,
magic.
What would you
tell? I remember that is what you said.
Stop eating. I'm like, what do you mean? I almost threw my white claw at you. I did not have a white claw in my hand. Maybe. So new content, new value for this year is that it's January 4th. And Tommy, I will say this, happy new year, Merry Christmas, happy holidays. Not sure we did a great job in the last couple of episodes of wishing everybody that, in the haste to, just create and create and create. We're like, do we actually wish all of our listeners a Merry Christmas, happy holiday, happy new year. So owning up to that, we just did it. Moving forward for 2021, you know, we started this last year with New Year's resolutions. And one of the things that's been just become abundantly clear for everyone that we've interacted with, the 130 or 140 people that we've taken through challenges and the private coaching clients and all the emails and Facebook messages and everything is New Year's resolutions and that mindset that you're just going to decide to do a resolution and that it's going to stick. We know that that doesn't typically work. So it's January 4th and some of you don't even do it anymore. Like when you ask people like, hey, do you do New Year's resolutions? They're like, no. I'm like, why? Well, they don't work. Okay, good. At least you know that, right?
Right. So yeah, that's the first step.
Yeah. First step. Yeah. But it's the first step of 12 steps. Like, okay. yeah, they're not going to work. So we really, really, really honed in on the fact that habits are really what you need to start with. And that's why we still believe that doing one meal a day for 30 days is going to create so many wins and so much momentum that the habit will be there. And then it'll give you back control. It'll give you back simplicity. And you'll realize that you now have most of the tools you need to be successful.
Yeah, I think that that's absolutely the case. Because those the simplicity in there and that the habits just start building from day one, but it just starts reforming, you know, what's possible and, you know, kind of what you've grown up doing, which for most of us has been at least three meals a day, let alone four or five eating opportunities, and a constant, you know, temptation and marketing for snacking and calorie dense foods. But those habits are huge. And, you know, if I look back at last year or a couple of years ago, when I was more apt to do just New Year's resolutions, if I go back to look at those versus the goals that I set forth for myself at any other point during the year, and actually had an emotional tie to those, something where I said, you know what, no, I'm frustrated, or I want to see some sort of change, or I definitely want this in my life. Those are the ones that actually gained the traction, started forming new habits with, and then saw momentum and results later on in the year, not the ones that were
arbitrarily assigned.
Arbitrarily, yeah. Like it's January, I need to write some things down, right? It's the new year. But that again, that's just kind of arbitrary. So it's looking for the why behind it and the emotional tie. And that's where we saw, you know, so many of the wins in 2020.
Yeah, get anchored into your why, Simon Sinek, call it whatever you want. I was listening to a colleague of mine the other day, and actually earlier today, and he's like, yeah, I didn't post on January 1st because nobody would have listened. And if you did, you've already forgotten. He's like, it's January 4th. The resolutions don't work. You know, you need to, and for me, it's framing it in the habits that get you to the desired outcome, not focusing on the desired outcome, because that wears off quick. If everybody wanted to lose weight and be healthy, we wouldn't have, you know, 72% of the population overweight and on track to be at 50% obese, you know, in the next handful of years. Like, it's not that. It's so I like the way that it was worded. It was like, for me, it's generational health. It's being healthy to show my kids that you have a choice, right? And it's not, you're not going to follow the path that, you know, the rest of my dad's brothers and uncles and grandparents, the majority of them followed. It's, you have a choice. Right. And it might take a little, you know, fail forward and tough love along the way, but I'm focusing on the habit and not the desired outcome. And like for him, it was, you know, I want to be healthier at 50 than I was at 40, than I was at 30, than I was at 20. Because you keep refining, you get better, you learn as you go. And I just really like that perspective. So if you're sitting here listening going, oh, it's January 4th, I'm already 3 days behind, just forget it. Drop that. Just leave it in 2020. Trust me, 2020 would love that negative thought. Just 2020 can have it, right? Like go back to where you came from. Just leave me alone, right? And just start looking at two or three different habits that you can put into your life. And we believe that one of those should definitely be one meal a day. And then we can talk about sleep or stress and have an argument about which one's more important.
Right. Yeah.
Notice we didn't say exercise. We didn't say exercise.
Yeah. Exercise is cool, but it's not the big piece of the puzzle here. And it's not the main part of the conversation that will actually get you, you know, those fat loss wins that you're looking for most of the time. Speaking of the habits too, when I started doing one meal a day and started focusing on time restricted eating, you know, what it kind of opened up for me was like there had been a lot of learned helplessness for me because I started dieting back in my teens. I remember picking up books on, they were both on muscle gain and fat loss. And, you know, back then they were selling things like Zenadrin, which was like aspirin and caffeine and something else,
Ephedrine,
right?
Ephedrine was on the market at one point.
Yeah, exactly. That was in it. So taking things like that and just looking for something that was going to help me actually burn off that fat and going into the weight room and just, you know, crushing just lots and lots and lots of weight. I was never a runner, but
fasted cardio.
Well, fasted cardio. Yeah, sure. Like get up early in the morning and just do a bunch of, you know, just endless time, right? On the bike or the treadmill, the, whatever cardio machine of the day. But you know, what I realized was that, when I started actually seeing that I could get results, without tracking every single calorie, which is what I had basically done for 20 years. That's when the learned helplessness started just vanishing, you know, from my own psychology, starting to see those results and start building on those. And then that allowed me to actually start making the smaller changes to change some of the other underlying habits, like the sugar addiction, like the just mindless snacking or that kind of emotional eating, which those things I had been able to stave off those things in the past for a finite amount of time. But when the scale wasn't moving at a certain point, I just threw my hands up and I said, well, what's the point? Why am I putting forth all this effort without any results? Right.
Yep.
So, you know, you kind of have to put the horse before the cart or however that, that phrase goes to kind of get the ball rolling in the right order. Right.
Don't worry about the horse. Just load the wagon. I don't know which one you're searching for, but I love that one. One of my favorites, but yeah, no, that's incredible perspective. And I will say this as a caveat, we're not saying that exercise isn't important. It's that you need to separate your exercise goals and your fat loss goals, and you can use them concurrently, but you don't need to. If you've been on that treadmill and that merry-go-round before and you haven't been able to get off, and the results, like you said, Tommy, haven't been working, why not try something new? Do 30 days
on. Yeah. Right. Exercise used to make me crazy hungry. And the research shows that exercise makes you really, really hungry. So starting to separate those two out and understand just what your actual goals are.
Yeah. Right. If you're exercising, keep exercising. But like, if you're not, just start with OMAD. And then 30 days from now, then start doing some resistance training. And then add in the walking, and that, you know, you can add all that stuff in because there's benefit to it. But just like, if that resonates with you, then just cut the cord, leave, it's January 4th, leave it behind. 2020 can have it in the eternal flames of, you know what, just keep it, right? Move forward, yeah. Cut the cord. Let's start fresh. Sorry, I cut you off there, but I just got really excited about that point.
No, I love it. Great point.
Transition. Next challenge, January 28th through February 6th. Tommy, is that correct? Can you give me a thumbs up?
That is correct.
Okay. So we're going to drop that in because this is a long episode. We're going to be doing a long one today, folks. So buckle up. But I wanted to drop that in here before we got an hour and 20 minutes in or whatever. And it's like, did we mention the challenge yet? So we did four last year. We got asked the question dozens and dozens and dozens of times of when's the next challenge. So we're committed to doing them more than we did last year. So we're starting. We're going to let the New Year's resolutions wear off by January 28th. You'll be lost, cold, frightened, not really know what to do next. Maybe need a little guidance, but we're going to crush January 28th through February 6th with our next 10-day guided fasting ramp up, where we're going to take you through a guided fasting live training, et cetera. So we'll talk more about that at the end, but I want to drop that in here now.
Yeah, super cool. I'm excited because, man, the results that some people saw through 2020 with those challenges, especially with this format that we were doing at the end of the year, was just incredible. So I'm looking forward to doing that some more.
Absolutely. And good time to transition to some of the best wins. So we like to kind of categorize, you know, we use the hashtag wins in our Facebook groups and our coaching. We like to use non-scale victories, like things that just people have realized, aha moments. Label them whatever you want, but we went back and we gathered the ones that we felt were the most impactful from the last year. And we're just going to do a little shout out here and kind of roll through them, Tommy. So I know you've got some on your end from some of the reviews that you've saved. And I went through and just scrolled through some things. And I really want to start off with this one. And it's from October 7th, and it says, I have hit hashtag wins. I have hit the lowest number on the scale since prior to tracking in 2014. Total win. This keeps me fired up, and I could not agree more.
Wow. I love that one.
Yeah, right? Like, it's just so like, wait, I've hit the lowest number on the scale since 2014, since I tracked everything. And total win. This keeps me fired up. And so I'm going to do two here. And now I'm going to pass the baton back to you. And The second one was from October 8th. So these are both from one of the challenges we ran early in the year. And it said, hashtag wins, losing more weight in 1 week at age 40 than I have lost in my entire life. Hashtag very thankful.
Yeah, that's incredible.
I mean, mic drop. like we didn't do it. Like, just go do these 10 days. And this is what happens. So, when you said to me, we're going to do two more challenges before the end of the year, or we're going to squeeze another one in before the end of the year, I was like, no, we're not. We've done more than we said we were going to do. We're just going to, you know, we'll plan for the next year. We'll start the next year coming out hot. And it was like, nah, we're going to do one more. And I'm glad we did.
Yeah. I don't know. It's still like surprising because it's so impactful, but I mean, that's exactly what we were seeing and how we were feeling. And that's exactly why we wanted to kind of, you know, turn on the microphones was we had a feeling that more people could experience the same, like, revolutionary aha, like just these epiphanies that we were having. It's like, how do you have epiphanies like that, you know, in your 30s or 40s? I mean, we've had some people in 70s. I can't remember if we've had anybody in their 80s yet, but we've gotten close if we haven't. And just some these realizations, like one of the reviews was basically, if I had known some of these things that I know now, you know, 50 years ago, I would have been having just basically half a century worth of, you know, just such a better life and, you know, more longevity and just it's extremely impactful and empowering. It's
the exact comment was on our most recent episode, which was what breaks a fast opinion piece. I like that it was our opinion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it said, had I known 50 years ago what I am now learning about intermittent fasting and carb restriction, I would be living a more healthy, longer life. And it's like, whoa, like I saved that one too. So it's cool that you were on the same page there. Like, holy impact, right? Like,
right.
Cool. Like, didn't know that was going to happen this year. But same realization that you and I had. So
yeah. I really like this one right here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I really like this one. This was from two challenges ago, and he said, doing well, love the freedom. This is day 27, which was 17 days after the challenge had ended. And he said, I'm down 24 pounds. And we kept in touch, and he kept commenting back, and he's still on the way down. But I mean, this was life-changing for him.
24 pounds in 27 days. And
I mean, he's on a way to 50 and 50 right there.
Yeah. I was just going to say, right. So, it can be you. Another one here, pretty happy with my fasting success this past week. This is from our group coaching that's been spawned out of the last 30 days, where we found out that there was a huge need in between these challenges for support. You guys were asking for it, so we created it. Mm-hmm. And it's our group coaching, where we get on a call every 10 days and, you know, we walk people through challenges and wins, and there's weekly check-ins, and there's a group, not a Facebook group, but a private community in our website, where you can actually log in and, you know, check in and conversate with everyone. And this one came from, this was yesterday. And we do have some older ones that we will go through too. And I know, Tommy, you have some reviews as well. But this one said, pretty happy with my fasting success this week. I stuck to my plan. So from December 8th to January 1st, this person lost 12 pounds and 44 pounds in total. And pair of size 12 jeans, which was the first major checkpoint, fit. And she wore them out the entire day. So
super cool. It's
crazy that most people from December 8th to January 1st put on, you know, maybe not 12, maybe 12, but,
yeah, it could be 12.
It could be, yeah.
Put on 12, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. And then it takes them the whole year to get rid of it, where, you know, and this person I know wasn't, 100% compliant, like gave herself freedom to enjoy the holiday. Like, I'm sorry, was compliant to the plan and sticking to her plan that fit her life, but wasn't like crazy strict dieter during the holiday, and gave herself right. The ability to actually enjoy it without the negative stress that comes with it and the guilty feelings. And she actually absolutely crushed it.
Yeah. It's not like she was trying to do a 72-hour fast over Christmas or
New Year's. Yeah. Christmas Eve. No. Yeah. Christmas Eve through the day after Christmas. No, thank you.
No, that'd be horrible. You know, I like some of these reviews too, from newer listeners or people who are kind of just getting started or just got the fast start guide and are starting to see the wins. Like, this one, I'm day three OMAD, day three of no pop. So no soda, for those of us in the South. Sleeping better, fog is lifting, can't wait to watch the physical changes too. And you know, so this is somebody struggling with other things like hypothyroidism, gestational diabetes, and things like that too. And you know, just to start seeing those wins and start see that fog lifting and the paradigm shifting is amazing.
Absolutely love it. Love it, love it, love it. Couple more here from Facebook Messenger. New to the podcast, I was 333 pounds. Started fasting, did a 46-hour, down 16 pounds in just about a week when this message was sent. Blood sugar is down in half.
Wow.
And just feels wonderful and hasn't seen that 16-pound weight change in over 15 years, and just asked us that we wish them luck. And we followed up along the year and just killing it, just doing incredible. And then this one last one from Facebook is game changing info. Jump right on in. And this is, I call one of our transparent enough. This is one of our raving fans, right? Like, she's been with us since the beginning, but just really, 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 really stinking cool. You know, to have all that feedback.
I like this one too. This one recently came in And said 208 pounds to 165 over the last 11 months here. So that's almost 45 pounds over
the 11 months. I hadn't seen that one. Wow.
Yeah. Off my cholesterol medication too. No prescription meds at all at age 57. So that's awesome. Way to crush it. Thanks for sharing with us, because that's amazing.
Man, if that doesn't embody... Man, if that doesn't embody, how do I say this? I'm just going to say it. I may not land the plane right away. So Tommy, help me out here if I don't. Mm-hmm. But if that doesn't embody the fact that you have a choice when it comes to your healthcare, and that you don't have to follow the status quo, and you don't have to fall into the category of being on medication at the age of 57, which people think is normal. In my opinion, medication is not a normal thing. It's a common thing. Like, we should be trying to look at these things and prevent these things and, allow the body to do what it's designed to do in a natural healthcare form before we start adding in, you know, pharmacological agents and treating symptoms and all that kind of thing. And, you know, I took pharmacology back in the day. That course was incredibly hard because everybody's stinking different. So never mind, you have right. the risk reward with the medication, but once you get on it, the problem is that, okay, well, hey doc, when do I get off it? Well, when your numbers are normal? Well, no. Well, when you actually make a change. And that, what you just read, is the epitome of making a change, you know, in the fact that you have a choice. You don't have to be in that group that is on the medication and that is the normal, air quotes, we're in an audio medium, the normal, right, statistic. Like, you don't want to be the statistic. You want to be the outlier in this case. So I could end it right here. Like, I know we have a couple more things to go over, but like that's it. I'm done. White flag. I'm out. Happy New Year. Let's rock and roll. We got some stuff to do.
Right. 2021 is going to be great.
Yeah. All right. Peace out. No, I'm just kidding. All right.
You nailed it.
Dismount. All right. Back on it. Couple more here. These are all the ones that we highlighted. So I didn't want to miss them, but I just love this. Today I'm feeling like $1 million knowing I kicked ass yesterday. And today I'm going to go even farther. Like, just really cool. And apologize if your kids are listening. We don't typically, we don't typically do that, but I felt like that was a warranted one. Best win this far. You already read that one. And then the support of the group and the fact that this woman posted that I've been consistently losing a pound a day since I started. Like, just my attitude's better. She feels great. She's less bloated. She's happier and she's getting better sleep. This might be a he, I don't know. I can't see, I can't tell. It's blacked out, right? But again, just speaks to the power and the fact that you guys have a choice. And it goes back for me personally that when we turned the mics on last year, I never had any idea that you and I talking about fasting would ever have the effect with these kinds of, you know, feedback and encouragement. And, you know, I didn't know if we were going to do it for a whole year, but I can tell you this, as we transition into what's coming in to 2021, and we're going to go over kind of what you and I have planned and what we want to do. Challenge on January 28th, if I haven't mentioned that already. Kidding. We want to transition. I'm like, oh, dead room. All right. We want to transition to kind of what we're going to do in the fact that, yeah, we're not stopping. We're going to double down, right? Like, I don't know the blackjack terms. Tom, you play blackjack. What's it when you like split and you double down? What's that called?
Double down.
Double down. Oh, okay. Man, so I totally stole your thunder there. So I'm sitting on, like, I don't know, pair of tens and I split them. Is that good? Or I got double jacks?
No, you don't do that. No, you don't do that. Okay.
Well, what would I do? Tell me, aces and eights. Okay.
Split the aces and eights. Okay. So if you're sitting on two aces, then you're going to split them. And then if you, you would definitely want to split those.
Okay. And then double down, right? So you double your bet.
That would be a different situation, most likely.
Oh, come on. All right, fine. I'm going to use an analogy that I know. So I'm I'm playing Hold'em and I'm going all in. Okay.
Okay.
It's coming to me. I'm going all in, all the chips on the table. I'm at the final table. There's three people left. I'm going all in. So for 2021, what does that look like? Man, I butchered the hell out of that. So we talked about the challenge date. But things that are coming are going to be more podcasts, more challenges, more digital resources, like white papers and recipe guides. And just, my God, the list never ends. And I just want to, that's all I want to do is create refining of our courses. So our 10-day DIY, our 28-day transformation. We're working on some done for you. We've got group coaching. I'm just going to list them all off and then you can fill in here. Our group coaching matrix now that we have, which is a recurring kind of group coaching where you get a customized plan. Customized plans are being refined and just taken to another level with the algorithm and how we're calculating like what you can expect to lose and different touch points and metrics. And
yeah, and how to pivot with you whenever you know, something changes with your schedule or you go off track or all those kind of things. And then as far as the customized plans, like just developing more advanced tools to kind of like follow along with you and to keep growing with you. Because you know, when you get a plan and 30 days from then you're at a different point, right? You're at a different weight. You have a different number of total calorie surplus.
Mindset.
Your schedule. Your mindset's different, right? Your scheduling is different, all that stuff. So just working on tools that kind of grow with you to help keep you, you know, reaching and maintaining, you know, the goals and the momentum that you've been getting, keep you fired up and, you know, get all the way to where you want to go.
Love it. Absolutely love it. man, I think that's it. I mean, what else could we talk about? This is one of the longest episodes we've done in a long time. So with that, all of that being said, couple of things for you guys, we're going to ask you, for in the next year is to continue on this journey with us. If you have fallen off track and you want to get back on track, earmark the date, January 28th for the next challenge. It's the last two times. It's just been incredible. We've refined the process, refined the experience. And the results have been incredible. The results in the beginning of the year with our challenges were good, but it's just getting better as the year goes on. So earmark that date. Re-engage with the Fast Start Guide, re-engage with us, send us a message, ask us a question. Tommy, correct me if I'm wrong here, but there's two different ways, new ways that they can, you know, the podcast numbers are cool. Like 200,000 downloads. Like that's really freaking cool. Right. But like, I don't know, like, okay, what can we do next? Right. So, you know, in our goal of trying to spread the word and impact, you can either reach out to us. There's a voicemail snippet, right, where you can actually like send us a message. And there's also a share opportunity for the podcast, correct?
Yeah, you can definitely do both of those things. And for the voicemail, all you have to do is go to thefastingforlife.com, go to the contact page, and then you'll see a link to leave us a voicemail. And we don't have to air it, but if you would like us to, and it's clear and concise, then we can definitely do that too. But we love, you know, answering questions like that. We get plenty of emails too for things like that, and definitely share, because you know what, one cool thing that I heard recently was that a few people who I had introduced, I had given them a plan. They were asking how to lose, you know, somewhere in the 15 to 25 pound range. And it turns out what they ended up doing was kind of starting like a little bit of a book club almost, where they were actually waiting for the next episode. And then they were discussing it like amongst themselves. And so they were like, yeah, they were kind of building on the conversation. And, you know, there's a reason why, you know, your results started with our conversation and why we wanted to expand the conversation. So just keeping it going and, you know, referring it, sharing it, and finding ways to build out on those conversations. Like a lot of people who go through the challenges with us end up being, you know, kind of a local authority point in their own social circles and getting their own family and friends and coworkers on board, where, you know, a few people we've introduced have kind of been the trailblazers for their offices. And some of the other ones had actually been the laggards, where there wasn't a lot of open conversation, but, you know, then they saw what we were talking about and got on board, and they were kind of like the late to the party ones. So keep the conversation going and share it, and you know, just continue to see the wins for yourself and for those you care about too.
Man, that is so cool. I didn't even know that was happening. Like keeping these cards close to your chest there, Tommy. I'm like, what? Like, what a cool idea, right? I absolutely love that. So one last statement here is from one of our challengers back in the day. And I read part of her testimony earlier, but it says anything worth doing is doing well. And the Fasting for Life community, this conversation that we're talking about is really what we started out to create. So go back, earmark the challenge date, listen to the episodes. If you want to get a restart for the year, start a podcast club. Didn't know that was a thing. Download the Fast Start Guide, reach out to us, share it with someone, really just do something in terms of what we were talking about earlier in the middle of the podcast when it comes to creating a new habit and not focusing on the desired outcome, but focusing on those day-to-day habits that can consistently move the needle. And I know if you do that, 1% better every day, you're 37 times better by the end of the year. So encouragement to each and every one of you. If you feel inclined, please drop us a review. We prefer the 5-star kind. Leave us a message and let us know if there's anything we can do to help. Tommy, to you, sir, it's been an absolute pleasure on this roller coaster of a ride of 2020. Excited to be sitting here on January 4th, 2021, and ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, likewise, sir. Couldn't have said it better myself. And, appreciate the conversation and everything that we're doing. So looking forward to a great year.
Awesome. Awesome. Oh, I forgot to share a cool thing. I'm not going to share it now. I'm going to dangle the carrot. You're going to have to listen to the next episode. There's a cool little research study I'm doing with some technology. We're going to leverage technology in 2021. So with that being said, commercial break coming up. This episode is over. Tommy, have a great day and we'll see you on the other side.
Thanks. Bye. So you've heard today's episode and you may be wondering, where do I start? Head on over to thefastingforlife.com. And sign up for our newsletter, where you'll receive fasting tips and strategies to maximize results and fit fasting into your day-to-day life.
While you're there, download your free Fast Start Guide to get started today. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Fasting for Life.